This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com. Final two Sabres games coming up this week tonight at home against Toronto.
Thursday.
Thursday at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. Montreal still trying to figure out how to secure that final wild card spot. Although Ivan Demidov looked like a lot of fun. And like a stereotypical Russian player, which I don't know. I don't know if you love that or
why,
not. But
why can't I have the dumb team that can't close out the playoff spot?
Well, we because do that in November.
Because that would mean my team would be in the playoff spot. But no, I can't even have that.
No. Can't have that. Cannot have that. We are inching closer to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tonight, the play-in games for the NBA begin, which I kind of wish the NHL would do something like this because it would be fun. It would be interesting. You know, there's a good chance the Sabres could be involved in it. I don't particularly love it in the NBA. I also don't know how much of the playoffs I'm actually going to watch. But if you are so inclined, tonight begins that. Hawks, Magic, 7:30 on TNT. And then following that, Grizzlies, Warriors at 10, or really whenever Hawks, Magic end. And then tomorrow, Heat, Bulls, and Mavericks and Kings. Those games on Wednesday, though, will be on ESPN. Today, though, we're going to go a lot of draft NFL. If you haven't seen it, there's some rumblings about Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins seeking a trade potentially for each other, even though Ramsey's contract looks to be nearly untradeable. There's a lot of rumblings with Tyreek Hill and everything going on with him, it seems like, every year. And then draft visits. The Bills had a lot yesterday at some very specific positions. And, Derek, we were talking in kind of where we kind of threw the question out for today is, well, like last year, how would you feel if the Bills next Thursday night trade out of the first round?
I'm going to say something potentially controversial. If you didn't hear me say it yesterday, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only am I ready at this point, I am very excited if that becomes the case. Because then I get to do several things. One, I get to watch your crippling sanity and the rest of it crumble live on air.
Yeah, it's already on a knife's edge, dude. So it's already on a knife's edge.
I also get to see whatever Nate's reaction is. That's a mystery. I might need to text him just to be like, hey, what do you think? And then I'm also going to very quickly be able to pivot to, all right, we get out of here in like the next 10 minutes now because we're done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back for a loaded day two where they already have 2 second round picks. If you trade out of the first round, you're probably getting a third, which means you have 4 picks in 2 rounds. Ready, set, engage. I'm beyond ready for it. I'm actually kind of embracing and now almost cheering for it.
Yeah,
I'm very comfortable.
I'm glad you brought up embracing and borderline cheering for, because that's how it's felt us talking off air. I'm like, I feel like he wants to see this happen. I'm cool with it if it happens. I'm for it. We were just mentioning with Sneaky Joe as he left. If they got a third round pick trading back, I'm happy because I think that gives them a lot of options to what they want to do. I think it opens up their draft board more, especially when you look at a lot of their pre-draft visits where they want to get guys and who they're bringing in on visits. I'm still going to be kind of annoyed, though, having to work till like midnight and be like, oh, and we got nothing. Awesome.
So I'm now looking at this in several benefits. This is how much I'm embracing it at this point. One, we get paid the same amount no matter what. We're going to be here for a certain amount of time. And as a matter of fact, if they announce that they're trading out, do we even really need to be here for the end of the first round?
No, but they're a pick 30. So
yeah,
like
they're basically there. You've already stayed up anyway.
Like, yeah, well, yeah, but it's like it's
for fans' sake, I understand it. Because
but you're
of
watching
fact,
a movie, and then all of a sudden you find out it's a part one instead of a part two, and you're like, wait, what?
Ready? Depends on how good the movie is, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
yeah, context matters.
Context matters. I mean,
say the big board is falling exactly the way you want it to fall, and there are like six players that the Bills could take that fans are very comfortable with at 30, and then they trade back. And they don't go far. Say they go to like 34 or 35 with like the Giants or Tennessee who decide, no, I'm going to go ahead and take Jackson Dart at the end of the first round for some reason.
Hell yeah.
And the Bills get an extra third round pick out of this. Score. That's a damn good cliffhanger. Would you say not?
No, I mean, it's a good cliffhanger. That's
because
nice.
Last year was infuriating based on two things. One, the wide receiver train ran off the rails.
It was fun though.
It was fun, but it ran off the rails. And two, the player with like the flashiest traits was the player that got taken by the most hated team. And the Bills provided a minor assist to that. But the Bills saw the draft board and were comfortable trading down not once, but twice out of the first round entirely. It was far more frustrating because the Bills took a shuffle from four picks. And they did it in two trades. So we were like, okay, so they're going to pick the last pick of the first round. And then no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because of the fact that they traded out of the first round. It's for some people, it was who they traded with. And it was what was taken. Because three of them were wide receivers as the Bills bowed out of round one.
Mm-hmm.
So the train, it got derailed. There is no train this year. We're riding a small little guy, little powered engine. Nothing too crazy. It's not going full speed with the beef wagon.
No,
well, I need my defensive tackles, but it is so deep that I don't need it in round one. I don't even need it necessarily with my first pick of round two. It's that deep. If they trade down, I want it to be no lower than 36, though. Context matters.
And that would be Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
36.
Yeah, you've got Cleveland, New York, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. If I see the right team show up at pick 30, that tells me, okay, we're going to get ourselves a good haul then. At least something important enough that day two becomes another wacky, fun-filled, crazy day. Oh, and we will still have to be working until the same time anyway. So,
well, I mean, yeah, but for me, like, I'm looking at it.
Actually,
like,
I'm starting to think we would get out earlier if the Bills don't make a pick again.
Maybe.
Well, we would have to get more reaction.
Yeah, maybe.
We would probably have to wait for someone to talk.
I look at it like this. I loved Dune Part 1 and Part 2, the latest movies from Denis Villeneuve.
Right.
I loved them. Dune 1 kind of ends in a weird spot, though. Paul and his mom kind of walk into the desert with the Fremen, and you're like, that's it? That's where we're ending?
That's why I said context matters.
But it would sort of feel the same way even if Jackson Dart, you know, goes to Cleveland or whatever, that they do something like this. It would still be like a good movie. Good movie. You know, good decision. They get a lot back for it, what have you. It'll still have this feeling of, come on, make a pick. I'm not saying it's necessarily right, but they have needs. They need starters. You could arguably say
this
they
is a starter's
star power.
Draft.
Yep.
It's star power that they lack. And at 30, you're not guaranteed any of that.
No, that's right.
As a matter of fact, at any pick, you're not guaranteed any of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Travis Hunter could have, like, one of the worst things happen to him luck-wise. I don't ever want to wish injury on a player. But, like, those things happen.
Tre'Davious White was going to be a long-term staying star power player at corner for the Bills. Then injuries took it.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. Nobody's guaranteed a star. Nobody's even guaranteed a starter. But if this is such a deep draft where you can get starters up and down days one and two, I want as many picks as possible in those first two or three rounds. Simple as that. How you do it does also matter, but if you're giving me more darts on the dartboard,
well, yeah, because the more ammo you've got is the best policy for the draft.
Not to mention, this is where, say they trade out of round one. Round two, you can get very aggressive with your two picks at the end of round two. You have all these fifth and sixth round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can start piling them together to move into the middle of the second round with one of those. Day two is where you're going to see them at their most aggressive. They love having a third round pick. They can move up in round two. They would be able to be the agents of chaos in round two to where they can really do some damage. They can do significant damage based on this, and I'm all for it. Does it mean that I have to sacrifice my sanity to be sitting here in 12:30 to find out, no, they're not making a pick? Sure. I don't have much of it left anyway. I'm in radio.
There you go.
Then I also get the bonus of watching you crash out on air. Mm. And as a friend, that is one of the most genuinely awesome things that I will get to see.
The crash out's only happening if Kenneth Grant goes either right before or right after the Bills trade out.
Yes.
It's the only time
if
the crash
before,
out comes.
If it's before, then there's a reason to pull the parachute then.
Yeah, it'll be like, all right, get out of here.
Yes. If it's after, then yes, I would absolutely see it, and I would continue to lose my stuff. That you're losing your stuff. And I cannot wait to talk to all of you and try to calm you down in the small amount of time that we will take calls before we go to bed. They pack it up. If the Bills pack it up, so do we.
That's the thing, too. It'll probably allow me to go to bed quicker because like all the adrenaline will be pretty gone.
See?
Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm helping you right now.
No.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I'm not helping fans, and I have to say that.
Specifically like, helping
we you. Are talking about a selfish problem here. For everyone that's a fan that is going to be staying up, like it's not their job, and then they find out that the Bills trade out, you get to sit there and you all get to say, I stayed up for this. And I will say, I'm sorry. But I'm not in charge.
I do want to bring this up, though, and someone tweeted in as well. Bram tweets in about this. The value of trading back. And this is maybe where it's getting me to. Oftentimes, the trade back does not give you the value you want. Here we're talking about this. Like we're going to swap our late first for we've brought up Jacksonville, so 36. You go from 30 to 36. You're in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping they get a third round pick, and maybe something else.
Based
They're
on trade value,
probably getting a fourth.
But then you still pair two fours and get in there.
Right.
Because the Bills rarely pick in the fourth round anyway.
You're hoping you can get in there.
It's not a hope at that point. Value's too good.
No, I mean you're hoping you can then get into the third round.
That's what I'm saying. Two fourths is good enough. It gets the job done. And, oh, you have four fifth-round picks. You're not using all of them, especially because three of them are within four selections.
The way I'm looking at this, though, is every report I keep seeing is that no team really wants to trade up, except for the quarterbacks.
And I call...
So how much is that actually going to change in round two and three?
And I call malarkey on that.
I don't. The quarterbacks aren't good.
Right? That doesn't matter. If a team likes a player, they're going to move up. The question is, how much does it value to another team to move back? That is the main thing here. If there are starters, and it is such a deep draft class, you should be comfortable with moving around if your big board is valued properly. Because it's not about what the public sees or the mock drafts or the big boards from analysts. Teams construct their big boards very differently. And if they see that there is a player that they love that is not even going to be on people's radars, they can drop down. Because they know where the value is going to be. My favorite thing is when general managers play Halo Reach and take a guy that has no business going in the round that they're going in, like Cole Strange with the Patriots a couple years back. Sean McVay
hilariously laughing at the pick
while having his presser where they don't have a pick. Good general managers understand value, and the Bills have so much ammunition that they will convince teams, you're getting value. We want this guy. The only thing that's stopping you is you're just not saying yes yet to all of these assets I'm giving you.
You got to have two to tango.
You got to have two to tango. And you're telling me that 31 teams don't want to trade down?
No, it's more for me. I don't love building an entire draft strategy on we'll move back to then eventually move back up. You're not getting a quarterback. You need starters on defense specifically.
And that
go get the starters. Rounds two and stay where you have three picks in the top, 100?
After round one, trades are very much more comfortable with teams.
Well, they are because teams are like, all right, this guy fell, we're out.
Well, also, teams hold on to their first round picks like they are jewelry.
Yeah.
Once we get done with that stigma, players get taken by teams. Like, teams move up and down in days two and three like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because a draft board will have worked a certain way where a team gets in a fervor about a player still being there and they move. Brandon Bean said the amount of calls that they got about pick 33 and they still walked in knowing damn well what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And that's a two to tango thing. But that's also pick 33, one of the most often traded picks in NFL's draft's history.
Mm-hmm. Because you have all day to sit on it. Teams will call you all day.
And not to mention, you still have all that ammunition that you can move up in the second round anyway. So if you don't trade down, there's still potential that you can move up in round two. I'm just saying it gets a hell of a lot easier to be power players in round two if you do trade down.
They need starters.
They need starters.
But my thing is ultimately, this team can't afford another rookie class of, we'll see when he starts to play. They need help at defensive tackle. They don't have a cornerback too. That's why, for me, mostly, I've kind of moved off the Kenneth Grant thing. I think they're going cornerback in round one because they desperately need a cornerback too. They have not filled that position at all. Rasul Douglas is still out there. It seems like that's going to stay that way. And they brought back Dane Jackson. They can't afford to move back in round two and go, we'll see if he works. We'll see if the guy that's left available might work.
Context matters. If the Bills trade out, that means that several of those players will be available.
See, I see it more likely they trade up if there's a run.
They have, and that's, again, where context matters. We are talking about what happens if the Bills were to trade out. That means that a certain thing has happened. Either a run happened and they were too late and they wanted to bail out of there, or they are comfortable with what the draft board looks like to a point where they are willing to be a trade-down piece for another team. It has to do with context. If they move out, there is a good reason for it.
There is a good reason, but I think that's to your
It's an unfortunate reason,
yeah,
probably.
With the context there is that we are annoyed because another run has happened in these draft histories where the Bills stayed pat and went, well, there goes a lot of the guys we wanted. We're going to move back now.
And sometimes that happens, though.
I know.
That's the thing.
But that's the thing is you can start looking at it and go, it keeps happening to the Bills. They get jumped for cornerback. The wide receiver runs happen. And they continue to just kind of stay there. You know, when is the last big baller bean move that happened? I mean, realistically. Because we know that players and GMs and coaches can all build their reputations off of one or two moments, moves, what have you.
So you're telling me there's a chance, though? Because Bean does have these moves in him. He oftentimes does them in round two, round three.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that requires you to trade out of round one. What are you going to do at pick 30 that's going to wow me?
I don't need to personally be wowed. I need to see that they trust their drafting and can take a player that they think will start.
And you can trust that drafting by bowing out and still respecting value. You can still do that. They you can do both.
Yeah, but they can respect value all they want. Their drafting the last few years hasn't been good enough for me to trust them. Keon Coleman was a fine pick. Not great. His injury probably played a role in that.
Then what happens if there's the first round stigma tagged into it?
So what?
No, that's not so what. We're already getting enough complaints about him.
And he's deserved them. At certain points in his career, Bean has deserved these complaints.
No, no,
he's
not about Bean. Coleman. Around,
and Coleman?
Yes.
Well, yeah. The stigma's
Nate
still
and
there.
Nate infamously took a caller during pregame this season about Keon Coleman. They should already move on from him. Which, well, I'm not going to pick out one caller as like the signal of the fan base. But it's already enough to a point where, like, guys, it's 1 year. Can we settle down?
Yeah, it's 1 year. I've also heard people say, well, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have a great year. Go try to trade for him from Arizona. Like, you're going to have those segments.
And
the
thing
fans.
Is that stigma is a big thing, but I also know that it has nothing to do with that. It is, we like the board enough that we're going to trade out because we know that even if a run happens, we've got five guys we want to take at this selection, and there's only four spots between us and this pick. This is a can't-lose situation. Oh, and I'm getting extra ammunition for this. So it's okay. It genuinely is fine. And again, you and me, it's a different sort of context. We're going to be here no matter what.
Yeah, I think for me, I think you have more faith in Bean's drafting than I do.
It's not even faith in Bean's drafting. It's also about what makes sense. Mike talks about this year in and year out. And I think I finally bought in. I don't need the trade up. They have the ammunition to do it, but they have the ammunition to do it in rounds 2 and 3.
Well, I don't need a trade up. I don't need a trade back. I want them to trust what they're doing and go get the players that will make them better. Get starters instead of, well, Kincaid might play. I mean, we're going to call him a receiver. We're never going to know how to use him ever, even though most analytics seem to like him. Cole Bishop might play. We're going to find out, even though he's a second-round pick. Injuries took it away from him. Osiris Torrence is good, not great.
Osiris Torrence is a day-one starter. His rookie year
was good. He's a
day-one starter.
Kyer Elam, a complete and utter whiff. James Cook at the position. If you're not willing to pay him big money, why take him in round 1 or 2?
I'm okay with getting the most out of him for a first contract. You got yourself a 3-4 year starter.
Yeah, that's fine. That's great.
Out of a second round pick, I'm here for that.
Great. That's good. But he's fine.
But if the position is not going to allow you to value paying him at a rate that you can afford him, that's just your cap at that point. That is a different thing. That it has nothing to do with drafting. James Cook, the pick, it's a good pick.
It's a good pick. I have no issue. My problem is there's too many just good picks. There's too many just, oh, they're fine. They're good. That's why we're here. Baltimore has no problem all the time getting studs. Kansas City, studs. And Eagles, studs.
Outside
and then
of,
there's the Bills.
Outside of one team there, you named teams that the Bills are on the same echelon of.
Because of their quarterback. That's the difference.
What's the difference of getting studs if your team can't deliver anyway?
Baltimore can't because their best guys do fall apart. No doubt.
I'm comfortable
Kansas City's a dynasty. Eagles have made 2 Super Bowls in 3 years.
I'm comfortable with you get yourself a player that you know is going to be a starter for you no matter how it happens. If you see the big board fall your way, there's nothing wrong with trading down. As a matter of fact, at that point, it is advantageous for you.
I don't really trust this team right now. I really, in terms of drafting, if we're just that, I don't really trust them. I think their talent evaluation is too fickle. I think they look for very, very specific traits, and if you don't have them, you're written off. And it has caused issues where they just have a bunch of fine players. How many great guys do they have? This has been a conversation we've had for like 3 years. How many great players do they have?
And what's trading down going to do? What's the difference at that point from pick 30 to pick 34?
In a draft class where it's not really star-loaded, you're maybe missing out on another starter not working out. Another guy just being, okay. And so instead of Kenneth Grant, you go and get Devon Walker out of Kentucky, and he's not better. He's just, eh.
Say you don't get Kenneth Grant, and instead you get Trey Amos falling out of the first round. Say you don't get Kenneth Grant, but you trade out and then you go up from pick 56 to pick 43 and you get Trey Amos or Siobhan Revelle. You get a player from the second round later. You pick a guy at say early second round. Say they trade out. Say they trade out. You don't get Kenneth Grant. But you get Derek Harmon.
Right. Out of Oregon.
With the beginning of the second round. Then you take that extra ammunition that you have, including the fact that you probably got a third round pick in return now. So you don't need to make that move. That move's done. You did it. You take a couple of those fifth round picks. You take one of the fourths. And you move yourself up and you go make a vault from pick 56 and you grab a player. Like a Benjamin Morrison falling. Tell me that's not a good day. Giving yourself more ammunition to move around the board is exactly the playbook I want to follow.
803-0550, the number two call. Talking training down, the NFL draft. And speaking of that, Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45. They include pizza, all-you-can-drink beer, and drinks. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, and crystal clear sound so you don't miss a pick, plus local vendors and giveaways all night, including an all-exclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary. Get your tickets now at resurgencebrewing.com. This is WGR.